of you.
Amen. 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 Well, to start today, I want to show you guys a short video. I've shown this video before. It's entitled "The Skinny on Tithing," and it's about tithing. But really, what I want you to really focus on when you watch this is I want you to notice how each of the characters has such a different perspective on what church is really about. I want you to notice the different perspectives, the different beliefs, the different ways that different people and their personalities view what this is. Amen? So, Adam, are you ready? All right, let's see if we can make this happen. Uh-oh. Don't worry about it. All right. So, in the video, if you would have seen it, which was really amazing, you would have seen all these different people and their views on church. You would have seen all different kinds of personalities, and much like what we have today. If you look around the room, we've got all sorts of different kinds of people. We've got different ages. Go ahead and look around the room. It's okay. It's safe. You're not gonna get hurt. Okay. We've got different colors. We've got different ethnicities. We've got different personalities. Everybody is dressed differently. Everybody has a different sense of style or lack thereof. and everyone. We got lots of different labels, you know. For probably all of you, you would say I'm a, and then you would come up with whatever the label is. Maybe it's your generation or your age or your economic status or whatever. But we've got such a diverse group, and that means that in this room we have a lot of perspectives on God. We have a lot of perspectives, different perspectives on what this is, church, if you will. But what I want to do today is I really want to remind you that you're part, every single one of you, you're part of something way, way bigger than the label you carry. You're part of something way, way bigger than your perspectives, your beliefs, your personalities. One of my favorite authors is the late Dallas Willard, and I want to read you guys a quote, and hopefully you've got this quote. It'll be on the screen. He writes, "The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons, with himself included in that community, as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. And I want you to look at this quote, and I want you to really, really think about what you see. The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons, with himself included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. It's really, really, really important that you guys know and you understand that God has a plan. God has a plan. Things aren't just happening for whatever. There is a plan at work that God has. And you need to know that. And you need to know what the plan is. And you need to understand what that plan is. How many of you guys would agree that it's a good thing to know why you're doing something?
Yes
or no? You think anybody convinced of that yet? It's a good thing to know why, but it's also a good thing to know how to do something, right? Good thing to know how to do something. I was reading yesterday's incredible story about the guy that stole the plane up in Seattle. You guys been reading about that, hearing about that? It's amazing, amazing story. This guy works for Horizon Airlines, which is a subsidiary of Alaska Airlines. He's been working there for 3 years. He works on the ground, maybe in a mechanic or something like that. But somehow this guy, who's not a pilot, has no experience, has never flown an airplane before, steals an airplane, a commercial airplane, a 76-passenger turboprop airplane, taxis it out onto the runway, and takes off. And flies this airplane around the Seattle area for 90 minutes. No experience, doesn't know what he's doing, somehow gets the plane up and flies for an hour and a half. But there was one important thing that he didn't know how to do. Well, actually, there were two important things that he didn't know. The first one was the most obvious. He didn't know how to land the plane.
Right.
That's a whole other level of education there. He didn't know how to land the plane. And the other thing was he didn't understand the fuel consumption of the plane. In fact, he said to the air traffic controller while he was flying, they were asking him, "So how much fuel do you have? Do you know where the fuel indicator is?" He says, "No." And then he finally figures out where it is. And then he goes, "You know what? I was really kind of surprised that it's burning fuel a lot faster than I thought it would." And then one of the last things that he said was, "I think one of my engines is going out." And then he crashed and burned. How many of you guys understand it's important to know why you're doing something, but it's also important to know how? And when I was reading that story, I felt like God just impressed on me, that story is a picture of so many people in the church. They start out so great. They get the plane off, they get it off the ground, and they soar. And it's like, wow, their life has changed and things are going good. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, and they're here and everything's going great. But then something starts to happen. They haven't been taught why they're here and what's this all about. They haven't been taught how to go about things, what God's plan is, how does he work, how do all this works. And some people run out of fuel and crash and burn after a week. I've seen it. Some people last a month. They soar. Some people last a year. Some people last 10, 20, 30 years. But does it really matter how long you soar when you run out of fuel and you crash and burn? Guys, I don't want that to happen to you. And I don't think God wants that. I know that God doesn't want that to happen to you. I know that you're here today because God doesn't want you to crash and burn. But you will. If you don't understand, if you don't know what God is doing, why he's doing it, and how to go about living your life in a way to be lined up with what God is doing. If you don't, you will crash and burn. You may soar for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but it'll happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen so many times. Now, I want you guys to look at this quote again. The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with himself included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. When you look at that quote, doesn't it sound like heaven?
Yes.
Sounds like heaven, doesn't it? Sounds like he's talking about heaven. But he's not. He's not talking about heaven. The key words are the aim of God in history. That means here and now. History, you guys, you know this. History ends where heaven begins.
Amen.
History ends when heaven begins. When you're in heaven, you're not going to talk about the past or the future. You're not going to talk about time. There aren't going to be any calendars in heaven. No almanacs, no watches. We're not going to talk about any of those things in heaven because history ends once heaven begins. Heaven is eternity.
Right.
Build a calendar for that.
Right.
Amen. So he's talking about now, the here and now. The aim of God in history, in our lifetime, is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons. So God has a plan, and his goal, the goal of God's plan, is to create a community of loving people. People from all walks of life. People of every race, every color. People of every age, every personality, every quirk, every weirdness, every everything. All of y'all. Amen? God wants you to be part of that community, regardless of where you're at and who you are and what you're all about or whatever your issues are. And God wants to be the head of this community that he's creating, no matter what your deal is. Now, we don't usually refer to it as a community. We call it the church, right? We call this the church. But in reality, this is a small part of the big community that God is trying to create. Now, this community of loving persons, even this, with this size, is a powerful force. This is powerful. It's powerful for you individually, again, we soar. It's powerful for you individually, but it's also powerfully as a group, the effect, the impact that we have on the greater society. In fact, a number of years ago, Time magazine ran an article really on the benefits of religion. They called it religion, and the benefits of being in this community, the church. They did, they wrote some of the observations included heart surgery patients who draw comfort from their faith, religious faith, have a significantly higher survival rate than those who do not. The blood pressure, check this out, the blood pressure of people who attend church is 5 millimeters lower than those who do not. People with religious faith who attend church regularly experience less depression than non-religious people. Fact. Suicide is 4 times higher among non-churchgoers than churchgoers.
Amen.
It's a fact that something happens in us individually, but also collectively, when we're part of the community that God has decided to create in our time. So what is it about this community? What is it about this that is so powerful? Why does that happen? Why is it different? Why is there such an impact? Why do people benefit? Why do you benefit? Why do I benefit from being part of the community that God is creating, He's building? I think the most obvious answer is the presence of God. Remember, He's creating this all-inclusive community of loving persons with Himself included. That means He's here. The presence of God is the first reason, I believe, the first benefit, the first reason why the community, this community is, where there's benefits that come from this. Psalm 16, verse 11. King David wrote, "You," speaking of God, "you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Can I hear you say presence?
Presence.
"You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." There's another scripture that says, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Now, when you look at that, you look at this verse, basically what King David is saying is that there is a way to live your life. There is a way to live that leads to life. And when the Bible talks about life, it's talking about, first of all, eternal life. Second of all, a blessed life here and now. A blessed life here and now. And then the blessing of eternal life. Mm-hmm. The Bible basically divides things into life and death.
Right.
You don't want that. You don't want that now. As far as the way you live and what your life is like. You know how some people, ever been around somebody that just seems like they're dead already? Don't turn to the person next to you. Just sometimes, you know, been around people that are just like, man, that dude's dead. He's gone already. Death and life. Life is in the Bible speaks of life, speaks of blessing, having a blessed life now, but also having eternal life. So when you look at Psalm 16:11, David is saying there's a way, there is a way to live that leads to life. And guess what? You know where you learn this? In the community that God created. You learn that here. Here's where you learn how to live the life that leads to eternal life. Because how many of you guys understand there's more to life than surviving? There's so much more to life than just surviving. There's so much more to life than even thriving. There's way more what God has. Because every single one of us, our life, your life is going to end at some point. God already knows the number. He knows the date. Your life is going to end at some point, and then what? Then what? Maybe you made a bunch of money. So what? Maybe you got to marry the person you hoped you would get to marry. Maybe you got to hook up with the person you always thought you wanted to hook up with. So what? Maybe you got the approval, everything that you were dying to have. Maybe, so what? At some point, it's going to all end. But there is a way to live that leads to eternal life, that leads to life, that leads to blessing. In the presence of God, in His community, in this community, because of the presence of God, there's healing if you need it. And we all need it. Amen? Amen. There's healing. There's freedom. There is deliverance. There is forgiveness. There is peace. There is purpose. There's meaning. There's more love in the presence of God than any of us could ever imagine. It's all in the presence of God. Because God is all in this community, because God is in the community. You know that this was the lesson that God was trying to teach Israel in the wilderness. In the wilderness, God was in the camp. The tabernacle, the tent was set up in the camp. God's presence would come down and fill the tent because he was trying to teach them, where I am, this is where you want to be. Yes. You want to be in the camp because in the camp, there's safety, there's blessing, there's everything, the provision, everything you need is in the camp. Mm-hmm. But guess what was outside of the camp? There was danger. There was death. There was lack, sickness. There was all the stuff that we don't want was outside of the camp. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about when Luann and Jackie have gone to the Philippines, and there are certain cities that they would be in where people would check them into a hotel, and they would tell them, stay in your room. Don't leave your room for anything.
Right.
Don't leave the room. And most important, above all, don't leave the hotel. Don't go out at all. We will come up and get you. Why? Because there was safety.
Yep.
There was blessing. There was peace in the room, in the camp. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But outside, you're on your own, babe. You're on your own. And that's what God was trying to teach the nation of Israel. Stay in the camp. This is where I am. You're safe. You're good. Everything's good. Outside of the camp, you're on your own. And it's the same message that God is speaking to the people of God today. Stay in the camp. Stay in the community. Stay in the church. That's where blessing is. That's where peace is. There's where forgiveness, purpose, deliverance, healing, everything. The greatest thing that I can tell you guys today is that God is real, yes, and that he's here.
Yes.
He's here. His voice can still be heard. His touch can still be felt. Everything that you need from God is here. It's here. So the first answer to the question is, you know, what is it about this community that God's creating that benefits people in such a profound way? I believe it's the presence of God. The second thing is that within the community is the support. The support that you get, the support that we get from this loving community. You know, this is one of the things that I think people underestimate a lot of time is the benefits of being in a place where you're really supported, the help that you need. A number of years ago, there were nine physically handicapped people who were able to climb Mount Rainier. And one of the climbers had an artificial leg. Another was an epileptic. Two of them were deaf. Five of them were blind. But in spite of their handicaps, these nine people were able to climb the 14,000-foot climb of Mount Rainier and then got back down again safe. And then when they got back down, they were asked, you know, so how did you all manage to do this? And one of the blind members of the party said, we had a lot of help from each other. We had a lot of help from each other on the trip. Let me hear you say, we have a lot of help here.
We have a lot of help here.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14, starting at verse 14. He says, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. When you look at that passage, does it sound like the focus is only on one person?
No.
Does it sound like this is something you could just do by yourself?
No.
No, of course not. It's a picture. It's a picture of all of us in the room today, all of us helping each other out.
Yes.
All of us supporting one another, encouraging one another, and making sure that no one runs out of fuel and crashes and burns. Now, when you read it, does it all sound like fun and laughs? Everything about that list or whatever, does it sound like, oh man, that sounds like a blast, it's all great, really fun? No. Warning people who are idle, in other words, lazy. Anybody want to do that? You might want to sign up for that on your connection card. Warn, you know, pick out somebody that's lazy in the church and warn them about it. No, that didn't sound like fun. How about being patient with everyone? Yeah. How about make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong? I mean, that's got different levels there. First of all,
That means that some of y'all are going to do something wrong to somebody else.
Right.
Or I'm going to do something wrong to you. But then somebody has to come in and go, hey, even though he did that to you, don't pay him back wrong. Anybody want to sign up for that?
Right.
No, of course not. It doesn't all sound like fun and, you know, kicks and grins. But remember that God is building something here. He's building this community of what? Loving people. He's building a community of loving people. And that means that all of our rough edges are going to have to be softened. And guess where that happens? In the community. This is the part that so many people don't get. It's like, I went to church because I want it to be a place where I get to just chill and everyone's cool to me and everything's great. You don't understand what God's doing. Because if that, there wouldn't be a church if that was what it was all about. It's not about you. It's about us. It's about what God is doing, and it's through He. It's in this place, and in all of our rubbing together and bouncing off of each other, that's when God gets to create and build this community of loving people. So one of the benefits is God's presence. Another is the support of the community. The third, last benefit is guidance. Guidance in the community. There's times in everyone's life where you have to make a big decision or some big decisions. Do I go to college? Do I get a job? Should I marry this person or not? Should I change my career? Should I go for this career as opposed to that? Or should I leave this job and start this other job? Or whatever. We all have times in our lives when we reach that crossroad of, okay, I got to make a big decision here, a life decision, a life-changing decision. And unfortunately, probably just about all of us in the room can look back and go, you know what? I missed that one. I blew that one. That was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. I made the wrong move. And probably most of the time that happens, it's because we didn't follow a simple principle that's found in Proverbs 15. Verse 22. Proverbs 15:22 says that plans fail for lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. How many times have we made the wrong decision because we simply didn't run it past enough of the right people who would have been able to go, you know what? I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's a good idea. But instead, we want something, and we just move ahead, and we do something, and then later on, we're like, oh, man, we pay the price for it. I want to show you, as we get ready to close here, I'm going to show you something from the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts 13, starting at verse 1, it says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and then it lists five of the leaders of the church in Antioch, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, who we know as Paul. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
And then it says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And it's interesting, first of all, that Saul, who we know is Paul, would be the last one on the list. And when you study the Bible, lists are really important, and they're always the most important, the most prominent at the beginning, and it goes down from there. So it's interesting that Saul would be listed last of the five leaders of this particular church, because he would, of course, go on to write the majority of the New Testament. He would go on to be probably one of the greatest human beings that have ever lived. But this is a major decision point for him. How did he know that this was God to make this decision? This was the decision that he would go on his first missionary journey. This would be the beginning of his ministry that we would all know about from even today. This was the moment. How did he know? How was he sure? We're told in verse 2, it says, during a time of praying and worshiping and fasting, he and Barnabas hear from the Holy Spirit, get an impression from God of, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So while they're in the community, first of all, they hear from God, right? It's while they weren't out doing their own thing, you know, I was out on a mountain doing my own. They were in the community.
Yeah.
They were in the church.
Yeah.
They heard from God. Now, a lot of people at this point, most of us, probably me included, like, you know, we were on the third worship song, Luann was singing, and I had a word from God. He said, you know, you're going to be a missionary. Well, by the fourth song, I'm out the door. I've got my ticket. I'm going somewhere. You know, my ministry has started. I heard from God. That's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Maybe you have done stuff like that. I know I've made mistakes like that before. A lot of people would have just taken off, started their plans, but Barnabas and Saul didn't do that. Look at verse 3. It says, so after they, now the word they is speaking of Barnabas and Saul. So after they had fasted and prayed, then the next they is the people of the church. After they had prayed and fasted, they placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul. In other words, the church confirmed what Barnabas and Saul heard. They didn't just act on their own. They were confirmed within the community. They waited to get confirmation from the community to know for a fact. Now we know. Now we know for sure. Now, think about this. It takes a lot of humility.
Yes.
I need you guys to hear this. It takes a lot of humility to come to the church, the people, the leadership, and go, you know what? I think God told me to do this, to go here, to start this, to make this change, whatever, to marry this, whatever it is, it takes an awful lot of humility to go to people and go, you know what?
I think this is what's going on. I think this is what God is saying. But when everyone prays and everyone hears the same word from God, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you heard from God. Yeah. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Some of you guys are facing some important decisions in your life. I don't know what those decisions are, but I want to encourage you to remember you've got a lot of help here. There's a lot of guidance. There's a lot of support here. We have so many different personalities, so many different things. We're all different in so many ways, so many stories. But I want to remind you that you're part of something way, way bigger than your personality or your perspectives or whatever. The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons, with himself included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. You need to know that everything that you need from God is here within the community. There's blessing, there's favor, there's provision, there's love, there's forgiveness, there's support, there's guidance. It's all in the camp. Amen? Amen. You guys bow your heads. God, we just pray for your blessing, that you'll seal your word in our hearts today. You may be here, and maybe you realize that you're not in this community that God is creating. Maybe you're not part of that community yet. To enter the community that God is creating requires a decision on your part. It's not something that just happens. It's not just because you're an American or you're a nice person. It requires a decision. It requires a choice. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity here today, if you've not made that decision to become part of this community that God is creating, this community where God is the head of, where he's the leader. He is God. He is Lord. He is Savior. And in that community, there's forgiveness of your sins. There's eternal life. But it requires loyalty to him. If you're here and if you've not made that decision, you want to enter that this community that I've been speaking of, you just lift your hand right now. I want to lead you in a simple prayer, guide you in making the decision to enter that community. With every head bowed, I want to ask if you're here today, and if the Lord spoke to you in some way, maybe it's about understanding what God is doing. Maybe it's about understanding why you're here, how to receive the things that you need, the support, the guidance, the wisdom, the importance of God's presence. But if there's something that God has spoken to you about today, something that he's challenged you in, or given you guidance or direction, however God has revealed himself to you, if God has done anything in that way for you today, would you just lift your hand as well?
Hallelujah. 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 I just want to give you guys a moment just between you and the Lord. Whatever it is that God has spoken to you, if he's revealed himself to you in some specific way, if he's asked you to do something, would you just simply say yes? Would you be in agreement with him? God, we praise you. We thank you for your love, your goodness. I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts, minds of your people. Thank you for bringing us together today for this very, very reason. I ask for your blessing, your protection, your encouragement for every person here. Lord, I don't want to see anyone here run out of fuel and crash and burn. Lord, I want to see everyone continue to soar. So bless them. Encourage them, I pray. Protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? All right, well, it's time for us to give our offering to the Lord. I'll give you guys a moment to go ahead and get out the envelope for your tithe and offering. I want to pray for you, pray for God's guidance and direction for you as far as how you give to him today. And then we're going to close with a song and then blessing. Father God, thank you for your provision, God. Thank you for watching over us, taking care of us the way that you do, providing for us. Lord, I pray that you will, by your Spirit, speak to us. Show us how you would have us give to you today. And I ask for your blessing on this offering. Bless our church, God. Bless us, enable us, Lord, to be a blessing to everyone that we can in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a shaking, let hearts awaken. Our God is moving, forever changing us. There is a trembling, there is revival, the sound of worship, so great and we